That, you know, I didn't fall on the rock and willingly allow God to break me. Sometimes he had to allow circumstances to break me. So I would learn compassion, I would learn love. I don't remember what all I shared with you a couple weeks ago, but back several years ago, I was in New York City preaching on the streets, Teen Challenge, Dave Wilkerson, a bunch of things. And there was a demonized woman that came to the front, and the people were trying to cast demons out of her, and they were screaming at the demons and calling their names and, you know, all these other things, but the woman was not being freed. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, Russ, they're angry at the devil, but where's the love for the woman? What I'm learning is that God will use you in any gift he desires, at any time he desires, if we just say, here I am, Lord, use me. Now, yes, we will see different gifts and gift mixes that are stronger in our lives. But I want us to understand something. We don't possess a gift, but he possesses us, and he's the giver and releases. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the motivation behind the gifts of the Spirit. And it's the love chapter, but it says basically, I can understand mysteries, I can, you know, cast out mountains, but if I don't have love, I'm nothing. You know, one of the things that we understand is that God is bringing us back to being a people that are motivated by compassion and love. You know, when I was a younger preacher, I'm 52 now, but I started preaching when I was 15. And through the years, I found this when I was a younger preacher, I loved truth, but I didn't really care for people a whole lot. And God had to beat me down enough. And I'm not saying that he was angry at me or hard on me, but I was stubborn enough. Any of you stubborn? That, you know, I didn't fall on the rock and willingly allow God to break me. Sometimes he had to allow circumstances to break me. So I would learn compassion. I would learn love. I don't remember what all I shared with you a couple weeks ago, but back several years ago, I was in New York City preaching on the streets, Teen Challenge, Dave Wilkerson, a bunch of things. And there was a demonized woman that came to the front, and the people were trying to cast demons out of her, and they were screaming at the demons and calling their names and, you know, all these other things, but the woman was not being freed. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, Russ, they're angry at the devil, but where's the love for the woman? What I'm learning is this. You can have the gifts. You can have the anointing because God will anoint, as I said 2 weeks ago, any donkey who's around and speak through whoever's there. But God is looking for more than just a donkey to speak through. He's looking for people that have his heart, that he can demonstrate Jesus to the world around us. So Kim and I have made it a regular practice to say, God, before we minister, give us your heart for the people. Because we don't want to stand in front of you because of a call or a gift or even because it's our business, our job. We want to be motivated by the heart of God. And so 1 Corinthians 14, where Pastor was referencing, goes on from there and says, follow that love, but here's something else you need to do. Eagerly desire, or the King James says, to covet spiritual gifts. Now, how many of you know the Bible tells us in another place, thou shalt not covet? You know what covet is? Covet basically is lust taken to an extreme degree, and it's not just sexual. We're talking about a desire that is all-encompassing, and if I'm reading 1 Corinthians 14 right, it doesn't say, if you feel like it, desire the gifts. If I'm reading this right, this is not a suggestion, it's a command. This is a true story. It was on time change. You know, the day of time change? He forgot to change his clothes. One of the elders had a key and would let people in. The pastor didn't realize he was an hour late. So he walks out of his apartment to set the thermostat, and he was in his underwear to a room full of people. How many think it's important to know what time it is? You see, part of prophetic anointing is to say, this is what time it is. So we are prepared for what God's about to do. When I was a teenager, I was born in Hawaii. Can't you tell? Don't know if you look Hawaiian. I was born in Hawaii, lived in Cuba for 4 years. My dad was Navy, and then grew up near Virginia Beach. So as a teenager, I was a street preacher. And, you know, all this other stuff. Well, about 17 years old or so, I led a surfer to Jesus. We became best friends. He wanted me to teach him to street preach. I made a deal. I said, You teach me to surf, and I'll teach you to street preach. Now, I may not look like much of a surfer dude now, but a few years and a few pounds ago, I could hang 10. And here's something I learned about surfing is this. If I don't want to eat sand or miss the wave, I better learn to discern when the wave's going to break, how it's going to break, how to position my board, when to paddle out. See, part of prophetic anointing is to say to the church, here's the wave, here's what's about to happen, get on your board, prepare, do this, so we can ride the wave of God in and be on the leading edge and not running after a wave that we missed or running ahead of God and making a disaster. We need the prophetic touch and anointing. Sons of Issachar talks about in Chronicles, they understood the times and seasons and knew what to do. We need God to speak to us prophetically in every dimension and area of life. And we believe it's not just in church services. I think Kim shared with you a couple weeks ago a story about how in a hotel in Virginia Beach, she led somebody to the Lord because of prophetic word. And we've seen this kind of thing and so many different things. But it's not just that. Guys, God wants us to impact society around us. We are called to be salt and light, correct? Light, taking Jesus into the darkness of the world, but salt preserves. We are to preserve kingdom culture and kingdom values in our spheres of influence. Now, it doesn't mean sinners are going to stop sinning, because I've learned this, sinners sin. And I don't expect them to live according to, see, we want people to live according to our biblical culture before they've met our Christ. No. But we need to preserve the values of the kingdom in every place that we exhibit and have influence. And that takes a prophetic edge to reveal Jesus to the people around us. When we were a part of a large church in Hampton, Virginia, part of the apostolic team there, we were seeing people raise up and everything else. There was a season where the top detective in Virginia was part of our church and some of the police dispatchers. Well, there were two incidents, two murders that happened in Hampton that the police were not being able to solve. And the police dispatcher called my wife and I and a couple of prophetic intercessors in the city. They weren't prophets in the sense of declaring, but they were prophetic intercessors and knew how to get a hold of what God was saying and birth it, pray it through. And asked us to pray. Well, on one of the murders, none of us heard anything, but on one of the murders, God spoke to one of those prophetic intercessors. She got a hold of the dispatcher, got a hold of the detective, and God showed her where the body was hidden and what the truck looked like of the man who committed the murder. The detective went to the suspect, didn't say God said, just went and said, here's where you hid the body, here's what your vehicle looked like. The guy thought they'd found it and confessed. Not only was the murder solved, but you know what happened? For 2 months before, unfortunately, things fell apart in our apostolic church, for 2 months, we had prophetic intercessors going on ride-alongs with the police. Guys, again, I'm talking about think outside, just standing around giving each other a word in church, and think about the prophetic release in your spheres of influence. How many of you hear these things, and it's exciting, it's exhilarating, but then you look at yourself and think, but you don't know me. Anybody feel like that? You hear sometimes these things, and think, but you don't know me. How can I ever do that? I'm just a normal person. How many of you are somewhat normal? God uses normal people. So here's how we want to do, and we've used your time. Thank you for your allowance of time. But I want us to do more than just hear some stories. We'll wait on an individual to give us a word. Because can I tell you, we can come and be with you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, prophesy to everybody, that still will not be the fullness of what God wants. God wants to release you to be a prophetic people. So I'm going to issue that invitation. You love the Lord, serving God, but in your heart there's a cry to come up higher. There's a cry that there's got to be more. I don't know what that looks like for you, but there's a door in heaven. If you're willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to enter that door. You know who that door is? Jesus. It's not about being perfect. It's not about getting everything right. If you say, I want to come in to that door of revelation, I want you to stand with us up at the altar. Come on. You don't have to feel like you have to, but if that's the cry of your heart, God, I want to enter into that door of revelation. Guys, you don't have to go through the things that we went through. God's not looking for somebody he can break. He's looking for somebody that will be broken. So, Father, we come to you knowing that, Lord, in your amazing love, you see us, God, as your friends. And God, sometimes we have a hard time comprehending that. Lord, we sing it in songs, we declare it in scripture, but Lord, we need to understand that you are not just the God that sits on the throne, the creator, the judge, and all these things, but you also are our friend, our father, our lover. Lord, all these different analogies. God, forgive us. Everything that we allow to stand in the way of friendship. Lord, so often we allow fear, we allow religion, we allow our own sins, Lord, to stand in the way. But through the blood of Jesus, they're washed away and there is no blockage. The veil has been torn. Lord, the way into your presence has been made open. So Jesus, you who are the door, we come through you. Lord, we don't come for revelation by the goodness of ourselves, but we come through the door of Jesus. God, would you allow today to be a day when the veil is lifted? Lord, you said in 2 Corinthians 3 through Paul, you said that we're going to go from glory to glory, from one dimension to another in your glory, and the veil is going to be lifted. So today, Lord, we lift the veil of religion. We lift the veil of condemnation. We lift the veil of the lies of the enemy. We lift the veil of the habits of sin. We lift the veil of everything that would hinder. And we say, Jesus, let us see you face to face. And in that place of beholding your face, may we know that you are our friend. We are your friend. And you want to share with us the secrets of the kingdom of God. For Lord, this is the day and the hour in which the voice of the Lord must be heard. Lord, if there is anything that will turn a people or a nation to you, it will be a revelation of Jesus Christ. So we say, Spirit of prophecy, come and dwell upon us, arise within us to reveal Jesus. God, we pray that that mantle would be released. God, dreams and visions, revelations, experiences in God, the voice of the Lord. Lord, all of it that we may see you more clearly. That, Lord, we would make you known to the city and the nation and the nations in which you give us influence. And God, for this house specifically, we pray for the heart of Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. God, that you would cause the anointing of the Father to arise. And God, we call in the generations. Father, we thank you. Lizzie, come up here for a second, if you would, join Shekinah. Can we receive this, guys, teenage girls can drive you nuts, but it's not just them because of who they are. They're indicative, representative of a generation. What I'd like the two of you to do, just stretch your hands toward us. If God gives you something to pray or to prophesy, that's fine, corporately. If not, no pressure, okay? Would you all lift your hands to the Lord? We're receiving from the Lord, but God is doing it through the vessels of a younger generation. So God, we pray that, Lord, as Shekinah, as Lizzie, Lord, stretch their hands toward us. Lord, not just lifting your hands, but go ahead, stretch your hands out like you're releasing to us. God, we don't honor, Lord, we don't put them on a pedestal. We honor them, but Lord, we don't put them on a pedestal. But God, we recognize that we, as a fathering generation, turn our hearts to the young ones, God, but they turn their heart towards us. And Lord, until we can humble ourselves to receive from the younger, Lord, we're not going to truly have your heart for them. So God, would you come and release? In fact, we pray that as they, and Lord, it's not just going to be the two of these young women, but God, an entire generation that's coming forward. But God, we pray as these young women lay hands, that God, there would be an impartation, Lord, from a prophetic generation. God, that we would see a generation of children, teenagers, and young adults turn their hearts to the fathers. God, that there would be no division, there would be no separation. But God, that you would allow, Lord, this generation, this younger generation to cry out and say, where are the fathers and the mothers? God, may they desperately cry out and then receive from the hearts of the fathers and mothers as the father heart of God, and that spirit of Elijah is released in and through this house and through this leadership. And God, we thank you that in this leadership, and God, throughout this house, there's going to arise the heart of the father to be released into the younger generation. So God, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that as these young women were releasing their hands toward us as a people, God, we lift our hands and we receive from you in the name of the Lord. Now, look, guys, one other thing, and then we're going to see if there's any personal ministry. We're going to have some time for that on Wednesday night. But I want all those of you that are, say, 25 years old and younger, leadership, would you lay hands on this young generation? Would you do that? So congregation, would you stretch your hands toward the younger generation here? And pastoral leadership, just begin to lay hands and release the heart of God, the heart of the Father to them. God, we thank you. Congregation, would you now pray with us? Lord, upon this young generation, God, thank you. Lord, we declare that this is not going to be a generation that is just protected from the influence of the world, but God, they are going to become world changers themselves. God, that they're not just going to be covered and kept from evil, but they're going to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God. They are going to be warriors of light. God, that even as young people and as children, they will prophesy. They will cast out devils. They will raise the dead. They will heal the sick. They will lead people to Jesus. God, let there be such Lord, God, as we've said earlier, Lord, may this place become a habitation for the presence of the Lord. And God, in such a way that our young people arise and begin to embody the very presence of the Lord. So Spirit of God, come, we pray. And Lord, let prophets and apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists, God, make kings and leaders and governments, Lord, arise. Lord, within this generation, we pray and thank you, God, that you are bringing the release of the Lord. Father, we give you thanks. Father, thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, Lord. Now, God, here's what we ask. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see. God, that we may be a prophetic people. God, we pray that as we come to a close, Lord, of this time, but Lord, we know we're going to continue, for it's not a one-time meeting. God, it's not waiting just for a word. But God, it's pressing into relationship, and out of that place, you releasing the revelation of Jesus. So God, we ask now that you would call people, Lord, that are specifically called to be a prophetic voice. That's how I want to close out for this morning. If you feel that God, now please understand, we all can prophesy. But there are those, not because of any good thing we've done, just the plan of God. God has said, I've called you to be a prophet. I've called you to be a prophetic voice. If you feel strongly, sincerely, not just that, hey, God wants you to hear his voice, but you feel God has put his hand on you to be, whether you want to use the word prophet or a strong prophetic voice, I want you to lift your hand. And what we want to do is pray the release. Now, look, we're not lifting a person up to an office. Somebody coming up here and receiving prayer is not the church saying they are a prophet or anything else. We're just wanting to acknowledge what these people are sensing from the Lord and then praying, God, release that in and over and through them. So God, we thank you. Go ahead and lift your hands to the Lord. Congregation, would you stretch your hands toward them from the front and the back? Just stretch your hands toward them. Please understand, a call does not mean that anybody's better than anyone else. God calls whom he will call. But God also is wanting to prepare, and the preparation to be a voice of the Lord is a dying to your own voice. It's a dying to all the other voices and a coming alive to the voice of the Lord alone. So God, we pray for these men and women, Lord, from the youngest to the oldest. God, thank you that you are raising up a prophetic people. But God, beyond just a prophetic people and generation, God, you are raising up prophets. And God, whether they're ever acknowledged in an office ministry, God, whether anybody ever uses a title in their name, that's not what we are after, oh God. What we want is to be a voice for the Lord. So God, let your anointing, let your presence. God, we pray that more than the gifting of the prophetic, that you would draw them into a place of deep intimacy with the Lord. And God, that they would feel what Kim felt, and that is the presence of God, the closeness of Jesus whispering into their ear. So God, release that. God, I pray that not only in areas that are overtly spiritual, but God, even in practical matters. God, we pray for revelational inventions. Revelational methodologies that are going to be used even outside the walls of the church. God, even ways to reach people that speak not just different languages and words, but God, a different cultural language.